Hello, listeners. The International Association of Business Communicators, IABC, is a diverse global community working to advance the profession, create connections, and develop strategic communicators. IABC Ottawa, established in 1976, is a community for professional communicators who want to thrive in their career. IABC Ottawa's podcast, The Voice, is one such platform that supports our outreach to connect with our audience. The podcast is back with its new season. And this voice on The Voice belongs to me, Anu Sharma, your host for this season. I'm a communications professional who enjoys being a storyteller and brand builder. In this journey together, we interact with leading communicators worldwide, address questions, and solve problems for our comms community. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to our discussion on the importance of inclusive communications. As the world becomes increasingly diverse, it is more crucial than ever to embrace inclusivity and accessibility in the communications industry. In this episode, we'll explore why inclusive and accessible communication is not just a goal, but a transformative journey. We're often immersed in the tangible aspects of our work. From project to project and client to client, the critical elements of ensuring our communication is truly accessible and inclusive can unintentionally take a backseat. This podcast serves as a deliberate pause, an intentional effort to bring these vital considerations to the forefront, encouraging us to make inclusivity an ingrained part of our daily communication practices. Let's explore how these conversations can transform our approach, making ethical, accessible, and inclusive communication an instinctive and integral part of our professional ethos. Joining us today are two inspiring guests who are making strides towards inclusive communications. We have Sasha Jackman, an account manager at Vision to Voice, and Sajandeep Johal, an accessibility tester at Indigenous Services Canada. Sasha and Sajandeep, we are very thrilled to have you here with us today. Thank you for your time. Let's get started. Please tell us what inclusive and accessible communications means to you and why is it important? Sasha, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you both today. So to me, inclusive communication means removing any barriers that might prevent someone from accessing content, whether it be a service, a product, a document, or whatever it might be. It means opening the doors for a wider audience and inviting more people into the conversation. I think it's also about being conscious of our own biases, perspective, and our experiences. And it's important because the more people that we can get involved in conversations, the richer the outcome will be. I think sometimes we think about accessibility or inclusive design or universal design, you know, it could be seen as an extra step or an impediment in getting something out the door. But actually, we really need to shift the way that we think about accessibility, because including more people into the conversation makes our world richer and better compared to doing things with such a limited perspective. And it stops the exclusion of lots of people.
Thank you, Sasha. Sajandeep, would you like to share your thoughts?
Thank you, Anu, for having me. And like Sasha mentioned, that accessibility is very, very important. To me, especially important because I am visually impaired myself and I come across a lot of web pages and a lot of tools that are not accessible. For example, when I was at college, the professor would give me example after its lecture and I can't access it because it wasn't accessible to me. I had to go to a different office and get that material accessible, which puts me behind. I can't submit stuff on time. So working in group environments was also a challenge because when some students work faster than others and when content wasn't accessible for me, I couldn't work closely with them. And maybe if they gave me something to work on and they were also working on something themselves, they may have completed something way ahead of me and I'm still working on the first part. Sometimes that happens and the professors understood and they gave me more time to work on things. But if the content was accessible beforehand, it would have been a lot easier. So if you are developing a web page or anything, making sure that it is accessible beforehand, it will make your life so much easier because going back and making it accessible can be a big challenge.
Thank you both for sharing your experiences. Sajandeep, I read an article that you had written, which is Accessibility Barriers as an Employee with a Visual Impairment. and it was truly eye-opening for me. So could you share your personal and professional journey with us and how we can all contribute to making communication more accessible from your standpoint? What is it that you want to tell the communicators here that we should be doing?
So point of that article for me was to show senior management, hey, this is what I experienced when I went to pick up my equipment. Can we make this better for future employees? I don't like when I suffer something. I want to make sure that person who comes behind me, they don't have to suffer the same thing. That's why whenever I do something, I will try to point it out. I'll mention it so it's fixed for the person behind me. With that article, I talked about many things, what I faced. Giving those real life examples will open the senior management's eyes and hopefully things will move faster. Because if I just go and say, hey, I need this fixed, it will take forever. If you give actual real life examples and what you actually been through and what you had to do and all the struggles you had to go through, then they will actually, you know, work on it faster, I find.
That's a great point. So actually you shared your story with them, right?
That's right. So I actually also did that presentation with my actual team. I get to use my screen reader, which reads everything to me. And then I zoom in and out throughout my day whenever I have to zoom into things. When items are not accessible, I can show them and say, hey, this is not accessible because of this, this, and this. And they understand, and then they will change things right away. Sometimes making things simple, not the right way to go. Sometimes too complicated stuff also takes an impact. I got an email with, I don't know, it was just very colorfully and it just hurt my eyes. So I said, I can't read this. The contrast is bad. When I zoom in, it just bothers my eyes a lot. It may bother some other people's eyes and they can't read it. So giving a real life example to my team, well, now they know what to do. And it's a lot smoother now.
Well, that's a great point. I think we're all learning, right? And thank you for sharing your experiences as much as you can, because then that's helping all of us learn and improve every day. I'll jump to you, Sasha. You're the vice president of the IBC Ottawa website, and you're working to make the website more inclusive, more accessible. Could you please share some key strategies or initiatives that you've implemented to achieve this goal?
Yes, for sure. We started off by conducting informal audit of the current website. We went through all of the content and the page designs. And we learned that a lot of it was out of date and it was inaccessible to screen readers, and overall just the usability wasn't great. So we also tested the site against accessibility guidelines, selected font sizes and colors, and just realized that there was a lot of things that we could do to improve it. Our next step was to look at our branding. And our current colors of our chapter did not pass the color contrast test that we did. And so we had an exciting opportunity to refresh our branding. And we did color combination testing and really considered our brand identity. And we ended up switching our brand colors to a lovely professional dark blue. And so we started implementing the logo changes across our social media. Our new swag has just come in. Which is really exciting. And then the next step is to revamp the website. So we're taking all the current content on the site and ensuring that it's digestible, accessible, and engaging for users. So we're in the middle of that process right now, which is great. We're excited to kind of start from scratch and sort of what Sajan DP just said, we have an opportunity to start from scratch. And so let's build accessibility in right from the ground up, which is a really exciting opportunity. We're really looking forward to that. So it'll hopefully be launched in the springtime. So definitely stay tuned for that.
That's amazing. I remember I'd shown a couple of websites to Sajan Deep once, and IBC Ottawa was one of them. And this was like some months back. And he did point out a few features which are not accessible at all. So when I shared this with Sajan Deep, I remember that he was very excited that IBC Ottawa is taking this initiative. So you did mention that this has gone through some accessibility testing as well. That's great. Perfect. Thank you for taking up that initiative, Sasha. Okay, Sajan, in your role at Indigenous Services Canada, how do you ensure that communications not only reaches diverse audiences, but also resonates with them?
So at work currently, I receive a lot of emails that are not accessible. So basically what I have to do is when I receive them, I will try my best to reach out to that team and say, let's do a one-on-one session. And I'll show you, I will run my screen reader, typically how I would read the email, and show you how inaccessible the email is and provide resources so where they can go and how to fix it. I'm not supposed to give them step-by-step instructions on how to fix it. We do that sometimes when there's a time crunch, but we're not really supposed to. We just give them resources on, hey, you can follow this and come back and we can run it with my screen reader again and I can test it again if you did it right or not.
As an accessibility tester and as someone who faces this professionally and personally, what are some tips that you can give us?
The first thing I would recommend, what is it, accessibility guidelines, website, for short, it's WCAG or WCAG. I hear a lot of people call it that way. You'll get everything from top to bottom on what you have to include or not to do when you're working on a website. It helps a lot. That's what I look through because I don't know everything, right? I don't have all the different disabilities. I only have the low vision. I don't have motor skills. I don't have hearing issues. I don't need captions. I don't need, you know, I need audio descriptions on videos. Let's just say someone slammed the door on somebody and you just hear the door slam. If you close your eyes, you won't know what just happened. So another person in the background is telling you what's happening visually. So you get all the context. If you come across someone has a disability, give your work to them. Just say, hey, can you read this to me?
Right.
Because then you'll get a live or a real example. Oh, this person is struggling over here, or this person is having a hard time over here, and get their input and see, hey, because if you try to follow just even the guidelines alone, I find that you will miss something until you don't give it to somebody with a disability. They will then discover something that you didn't think of, especially with the contrast. You may think the contrast is okay, but somebody who has the actual disability, you won't know, right? So let's say if you're designing a game and let's say you choose red, green, blue. So let's say Anu, you're red, Sasha, you're blue, and I'm green. And let's just say I come across and I am colorblind. I just see black and white. How do I supposed to know which one is red, which one's green, which one's me? You know what I mean? I can't do that. So having a written form instead of having just colors, that will help me now because now I can read red. Oh, this is me. To you, when you first will look at something, you're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It has red, blue, green. That's what we're going for. We don't need the written stuff because it looks messy. You want to make it clean by just having the colors. But whatever you're creating may go to somebody who's colorblind. Oh, now they're kind of stuck. They just see gray. All the circles are gray. They don't know which one's red, which one's green. You need to include that red, the actual word. That way they know which ones, well, whatever they're looking for.
I was reading online that there are 1.3 billion people experience a significant disability today. And it's extremely important, like we're discussing, to make our communication accessible to everyone possible that we can. So are there some applications that can help us get these tested?
I would recommend users to go into their accessibility settings on their computers. Most computers and all Apple devices come with a built-in screen reader by default. On Windows, it's called Narrator, and on Mac, it's called VoiceOver. And VoiceOver is very easy to access. You can turn VoiceOver on. If you're doing it for the first time, you'll get a pop-up letting you know that the way you interact with your computer is going to change. Are you sure you want to continue and whatnot? So once you do that, the Windows version does the same thing. But Mac also has a guided intro or I can't remember the name that they use, but it's a great way to get into learning the tool because, first of all, it's free, it's built in, and everyone uses the same tool. And I would recommend leaving the settings to default. Try to change some settings. Not everyone will have the same setting as you, and that might cause some confusion later on when you're testing. So I would recommend leaving the settings to default. And to enable Narrator or VoiceOver, I'll start off with VoiceOver. What you do is you could either go into your settings And go to accessibility and voiceover. Turn that on. There's a keyboard shortcut that you can use. That is Command F5. And the same thing to turn voiceover off. And on Windows, it is Windows Enter, or it could be Windows Control Enter. I can't remember now on the top of my head. But Windows does allow you to install third-party screen readers. A lot of users use, at least in the government, a lot of users use JAWS because the government pays for the licenses. JAWS is not free and it's not cheap either. So the government does pay for licenses and they can get a package. But there is a free screen reader that you can download. It's called NVDA. Again, this is only available for Windows devices. Macs use a voiceover, like I mentioned earlier. I find that Macs, when you are interacting with your computer, yeah, there are some keys that you have to press. Whereas with NVDA and JAWS, you don't have to press that many keys. For example, if I want to head over to, if I'm on a web page, for example, and I would like to navigate by headings on NVDA or JAWS, you just simply press the H key. On Mac, it's a little trickier. You will have to hold down your voiceover key. They call it the VO key. And it is, by default, it's set to Control Option, but you can always go and change it to one key, and that will be your caps lock key. And I believe you can go in there and actually change it to whatever key you like. But I like to have it as caps lock because I only have to press one key to navigate by headings, where with JAWS, you can just press one key. It's a lot simpler. That's the only differences that I have with them, but there are some more. There are differences between the screen readers. Narrator is very, very basic. If you don't want to install a third-party software or anything on your computer, you can always go Narrator route. It is free again, same like VoiceOver. It is built in, and you can even turn it on when the user is first setting up the computer. Or obviously with JAWS and NVIDIA, you're going to have to set up the computer and install it afterwards. There are tools you can use. Microsoft Word and Excel will give you, there's an accessibility checker. It doesn't cover everything, but it will give you some tips and say, hey, make sure you add a heading over here, or make sure you actually, because people will just bold their first text and call it a day because it visually looks great to them. Yeah. But then someone with using a keyboard, they can't see anything, but then they press the H key. They'll just hear it say no headings found. And then when that happens, they have to arrow down line by line or arrow up and try to figure out what the title of the page is. If I give you a piece of text and the title is bolded and visually it looks great, but then I give you that piece of text and I ask you to navigate it by keyboard and your arrow keys, and you're somewhere in the middle of the page, you have to go all the way up like 300 lines to figure out what the title is of the page because there's no indications. I was talking to my supervisor earlier yesterday where there is a code for emphasizing text and bold text, and then you have strong text. Emphasize, what the screen reader should do is if you code it that way, it will increase the pitch, letting the user know this is bolded. If you just use the regular bold feature, it will just read it normally. And then for someone who's using a screen reader, they won't even know if it's bolded or not. There are tools out there for like web accessibility testing too that will help you. I think now they're getting better too with AI, but you can't always rely on them. I know it's not easy to find someone with disability. It's just always a bonus to have somebody on your team with any kind of disability, because then they can test on their end for you.
Those are really important points. It's just about being mindful as much as we can. So I think that it needs to start from there. And then, of course, you always have resources that can help you out. So thank you for sharing that. Sasha, your role at Vision to Voice involves unifying organizations to reach their employees through internal communications. How do you integrate the principles of empathy and respect to ensure that communication strategies align with inclusivity?
Something that was kind of jumping out as I was listening to this conversation is you don't know what you don't know. And so a lot of that is just becoming aware and trying to learn more and grow your team and to invite more people into the conversation, kind of as previously stated, and just kind of an extra thought. But I think for my role at Vision to Voice and as a communicator, the first place to start is realizing that communication, the audience is human. There are actual people on the other side of, you know, on the receiving side of the communications. And so we really need to try and understand our audience. And I think sometimes communications are just written or created just to be created. And what we should really be thinking about is who's receiving the content and how it's being delivered. And I think another thing is breaking down barriers and like, what does that actually mean? Well, I think part of it is removing jargon. I'm not using so many acronyms. And it's also thinking about the different channels that people are receiving content. You know, people have different preferences in the way that they receive things. Specifically in internal communications, there are so many different ways to communicate with employees. It can be through email, intranet, newsletters, word of mouth, bulletin boards, lots of other things. We need to be consistent across all of our channels to create an even playing field as best as we possibly can. And I guess kind of the next question is, how do we do this? And I think the key is talking to other people and understanding other perspectives. And we live in our own echo chambers and we don't really have a chance, give ourselves a chance to think about how other people may receive or perceive a message. So opening discussions and talking with other people with different perspectives and life experiences is a really great place to start.
I think plain language is key, right?
100%. I know this, one of my previous employers used to say this, that explain things to me like you would explain to a five-year-old. And especially for your audiences, right? Like you can't expect everyone to know it all. And I think Sashi rightly said, we can't know it all. And so it's the process of learning and the process of growing. Sajandeep also rightly mentioned that if you're making communications be accessible for people, give it to people who need that accessible communications, right? Like while you're testing it.
A big barrier is making things perfect. And especially when it comes to unlearning certain practices and relearning how we can make things more accessible. A lot of it is progress over perfection. And I would say if you're thinking about how to get your website or your organization or your space and whatever that may be more accessible, just start somewhere. Start having a conversation with somebody and just get the ball rolling. And it doesn't need to be perfect. You will make mistakes and that's okay. But it's just a process of getting us kind of as a society better to be more accessible as a whole.
And that's a good segue to getting started on our rapid fire round. My first question is, one book, podcast, or podcast that has helped you become a better communicator?
I listened to another accessibility podcast, Double Tap Canada. They just talk about technology and other stuff. There's a new pen coming out where you put it on your t-shirt and then it's like an AI pen. And then when you take pictures of it, it will describe to you what's in your environment, what's happening. And I find they're kind of going a little bit too far at it. They're saying that it can replace your phone. I don't think it will replace that phone because I know it does have a SIM card option in it, but I find the phone did so much, especially with apps. There are so many hardware stuff. Like there's like these glasses, these AI glasses where you put it, put them on and you put up a piece of paper in front of you and it will read to you. And it's like, what, $1,000+? It's like, why would I spend +$1,000 where I can download an app on my phone and it does the same thing for free? And I had to carry an extra tool, which is like glasses or a pen or whatever. It's so hard to create new tools for accessibility because of the phone does so much already. And it's advancing with LiDAR scanners and everything. But I listened to another podcast, Waveform from MKBHD. He's also a tech YouTuber. And he has a podcast called Waveform. It's always fun listening to his podcast, but yeah.
Awesome. Sandeep, you also have your own podcast, right? What is it about?
I do have my own podcast. Yes, it's iBytes, EYEBYTES podcasts. We're also available everywhere as well. I think I'm on my 20th episode. It was a holiday episode, but that was my recent one. And I do that podcast with another. I met him through the government. He's totally blind and We do a good job, I think. I don't know. We talk about accessibility, which different tools that come by, like the AI pen we talked about. We talked about, it's like basically similar to Double Tap Canada. It's another podcast. It's a Canadian podcast. And we talk about phones. We talk about gadgets, different software updates that come along. I want to start with one thing, what Apple did with AI. There's some website, I think there was a called something where you can clone your voice. And anyone can just clone your voice and make you say whatever you want, right? And Apple took that and they added accessibility with iOS 17. It's called personal voice. So if you go to settings, accessibility, then personal voice. You have to set it up with, it will take you like 30 minutes to set it up. And you got to just say these bunch of phrases to your phone and it will save your voice to your phone. It's on device and you can use your keyboard if you're on a phone call. Let's say in the future, if I lost my voice, I can use my voice to actually communicate with somebody else. So it's so powerful that way, what AI is doing right now. So it's awesome.
Thank you for so many good examples. Sasha, what about you?
Yeah, the podcast that I always listen to is Work Life with Adam Grant. I really admire Adam Grant's work overall, but he always has these fantastic guests on. So, you know, it covers all kinds of topics with experts from all over the place. So that's a favorite.
What is a tip that you'd like to give to future communicators?
Make sure you think of accessibility beforehand when you create anything. If you think about it afterwards, it's not easy to include it. If you try to go fix your current website, you're going to have a lot of bugs and it's not easy for even coders to work with that.
Sasha, what about you?
My tip would be just to get in there, roll up your sleeves and go for it, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. I think being a part of the conversation is a big thing. Big part of that is also listening to others. Your perspective really matters as well, no matter what. And so it's finding the balance between listening and learning. But it really starts with taking the initiative to just go for it.
Go for it. Love that. One app that's a must use for you.
Seeing AI. It's a Microsoft app and it is amazing. I use it all the time. Basically, it has different channels and it helps me if I just point at it as a piece of short text. Maybe it's a piece of mail that I got. And I just point at it, it will tell me who's it from. And there's a document scanner where it just, you scan the document and it will read everything to you. It has light detection. So it's great for the person I do the podcast with. He uses it every night because there's a light feature and he just walks around in his house. And then whenever the tone goes so high, he knows, oh, this room is so bright. There's a light on in this room. Let me turn it off. When it turns off, it goes in this low tone voice. Or beeping sound, letting him know that this room is dark.
These are reasons why we love technology. What about you, Sasha?
Just from an organizational standpoint, I always use monday.com. I love the list just to keep myself, the team on track. That's a great tool. And I know that they are working towards making sure that it's accessible for users. So they're kind of a leader in task management. And so just kind of excited to keep using that.
Awesome. So shout out to money.com for moving towards accessibility as well.
And also wanted to add one more app. It's called Be My Eyes. When you first download it, it asks you, are you a person that needs help or a person who's willing to give help to people who are visually impaired or blind? So I remember taking my bike and I went to this, I was looking for Tim Hortons anyway, and I end up where my GPS took me was this a bunch of stores all over the place. And I'm like, where the heck is Tim Hortons from here? I don't know where it is. So I just called Be My Eyes and I just point my camera and they'll say, okay, look right, look left. Oh, it's right there. All right, walk this way and boom, I'm there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. So shout out to Be My Eyes. My last question for today is, what is the most important skill for inclusive communication?
Plain language is key, I would say again. Make sure it's plain language. Make sure you don't include too much information. Keep it simple.
Sasha, what about you?
I'd say empathy. You know, work is human. The audience is human. We got to keep that in the center and not be so self-focused, I guess.
Thank you so much. This has been an enlightening conversation. I've learned so much from this discussion today, and I hope our listeners have gained valuable insights and perspectives too on the importance of inclusive and accessible communications. Thank you, and a very happy new year to the two of you.
Happy new year.
Thank you so much.
A big thank you to everyone who tuned in to listen to us. Every month, we will bring you communicators from around the globe, and we'll cover topics ranging from internal comms and crisis comms to diversity, equity, inclusion, mental health, analytics, and more. If you have any questions that you want me to ask or any topics that you would like us to cover, send us an email to vpdigital@ottawa.iabc.com. Keep smiling, keep shining, and keep telling those stories that matter.